Happy Easter. I know it's not the same, but maybe it'll be good just to say it out loud. Happy Easter. To those of you who are a part of our St. Tim's community and those of you who are our guests, welcome. We're so thankful that you have joined us to celebrate this morning. This Easter is quite different from any we've ever experienced. You may be sitting in front of your television screen or in front of your computer thinking, this just isn't the same. It's so weird to celebrate Easter like this. I hear you. I would so much rather worship with you in the flesh to see the little ones dressed up and to have watched the Easter egg hunt yesterday. Easter egg hunts were always a family favorite in my family. Though I had three younger siblings, I frankly don't remember them searching for eggs. Easter egg hunts were serious business, and in my mind, it was a competition between two people, my older sister and me. In my mind, it was a competition of perception, speed, hand-eye coordination, and endurance. Every year, my sister and I competed to see who is the best. And every year, my wily older sister beat me. But I would say, if my sister weren't in Minnesota, I would challenge her to an Easter egg hunt-off. I hope you've created some special ways to celebrate Easter this year. But I'm going to say it out loud. It's just not the same. You went to the store and you couldn't find the ham you would have baked. You weren't able to invite your family over for that large annual family gathering. You weren't able to go anywhere except on a rare occasion, and yet you feel exhausted. You can't sleep well. Your kids are running around the house just as they're doing right now. You are overworked and concerned about your future. Or you're recently unemployed and filed for unemployment. You've been sick, or loved ones you know have been sick. People that you know have died, or you fear that all too easily someone that you know might die. You can't visit your parents or your grandparents in their care facility. Your financial future is in question and your investments have taken a dump. You can't get together with friends, or if you do, you need to stand 6 feet apart or just meet online. Sports have been canceled. Your school year is finished and you won't be able to walk for your graduation. You feel alone and discouraged, or maybe depressed. We have experienced loss, and we are grieving. Easter is not the same. Life is not the same. And I can't help but believe that our experience of loss uniquely places us in a position to experience Easter in a profound way. A couple of weeks ago, my husband said, you know, the first Easter came under less than ideal circumstances too. No kidding. The first Easter came after the horrific death of an innocent man. The first Easter came after all hope was lost. The first Easter came after everyone had run away except for a few women. The disciples couldn't stay for fear of being associated with this man. They knew all too well that if they hung around long enough, they too would suffer the same fate. They didn't stay. They ran, hid, and sat in shock as they realized that the man they had surrendered their livelihoods for was now dead. They had given up everything to follow him. They loved him. They were his closest companions. And now he was dead. But the women stayed behind. No amount of fear, grief, or shock could pull them away. They would watch until the very end. They would watch as he was laid in a tomb. They would watch as a stone was rolled to bar the entrance. They would watch until they could not, for it was the Sabbath day. But they would return just as soon as they could. And so they do, near the break of dawn the next morning. As they approach the tomb, the ground begins to shake, the guards faint, the stone is rolled away, and an angel sits on the stone. "Do not be afraid," he says, "for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." He tells the women that Jesus has fulfilled his word. He has risen. He is alive. The angel invites them to see the evidence that Jesus is no longer dead. The tomb is empty. He tells them to go quickly and tell his disciples that he is alive and going ahead of them to Galilee. He will see them there. The women cannot help but be fearful. No one has experienced what these women have experienced. Ever. The angel, the earthquake, the guards, the empty tomb. Jesus is alive. They cannot help but fear this incredible sight, this incredible news. But their fear does not overcome them. They have just been given the greatest news, the greatest joy. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Their joy compels them to run and tell his disciples. No thing and no one can hold them back. And on their way, Jesus shows up, a living, breathing, fleshy Jesus. Their best friend and companion has come back. They take hold of his feet and worship him. This entire story seems simply unbelievable. What a story! An earthquake, an angel, guards fainting, an empty tomb, and Jesus resurrected from the dead. It seems simply too good to be true. And it's tempting to leave it at that. An unbelievable story from 2,000 years ago that doesn't mean anything for you and me today. When the rubber meets the road, what does Jesus' resurrection mean for you today? How does Jesus' resurrection give you hope in the face of this devastating coronavirus pandemic? In 1998, Hurricane Mitch was anticipated to sweep through Honduras. A couple of friends of mine were living there at the time as missionaries. They had built deep relationships with the people and naturally felt the urgency to pray for everyone's protection, that the waves would be turned back. My friend desperately prayed that God would turn the storm back, that the land and the people would be spared. But to her horror, the hurricane came with a vengeance and obliterated 5,000 men, women, and children. That day, her image of God was washed away with the storm surge. What kind of a God would not listen to the pleas of thousands of praying people to prevent innocent people from suffering and death? Shouldn't God want to prevent suffering? My friend grieved the image of God she had loved. It's stories like these and circumstances like ours that cause us to consider God. Where is God, and why did he not prevent this suffering? These questions can be incapacitating. These questions can bring us to places of anger and resentment. These questions can bring us to Jesus. My friend's image of God was washed away with the waves. And in its place grew a profound understanding that God does not avoid suffering. He does not avoid suffering, but joins our suffering to bring life. She commented, "You know, Jonna, God did not send Jesus to save us like a Superman or a Superwoman would. He did not send Jesus with the force and might of a superhero. He sent Jesus in weakness. He suffered and he died too. This is the wonder of God. In his great love for us, God did not send a superman or a superwoman. He sent his one and only son to suffer and to die, so that through his death and resurrection, you and I might have life. Because of Jesus, the devil was stripped of his power. He is not winning and he won't win. Because of Jesus, your sin has been placed in his wounds and you are forgiven. You are set free from sin and you are made right with God. Because of Jesus, you too will rise again, never to die. Because of Jesus, you are not alone. His presence is always with you. Because of Jesus, even the bleakest situations are used for good. Don Giuseppe Berardelli was a priest in northern Italy in a town that was one of the hardest hit by the coronavirus pandemic. He had suffered from a respiratory condition and later contracted coronavirus. His parish wanted to ensure that he had a chance for survival, so they bought him a respirator. But he refused it to give it to someone who was younger than him. And on March 15th, he passed away. There was no possibility for a funeral, but local reports said that in a town in southern Italy, the opposite end of the country, citizens walked out onto their balconies and applauded him at noon the following day. An American priest called him a martyr of charity and quoted John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is what Jesus has done for you. He has laid down his life for you, his friend. Even in the bleakest situations, when all hope appears to be lost, God is working for good. He is not done yet, and he is not done with you. He wants to give you hope, a living hope, the hope of Jesus. This is not a hope based in the stock market, our world leaders, your health, your good fortune, your education, your work, or your dreams. This hope is Jesus, the person of Jesus, the only Son of God who came to earth in vulnerable human flesh to go to the cross for you. Fear could not prevent him. Hatred could not dissuade him. The devil couldn't beat him and the grave couldn't hold him. He has conquered death so that you might have life. As a preacher once said, Friday happened, but Easter was just around the corner. There is no greater news. Jesus rose from the dead just as he said he would. Jesus is alive, and he is our hope. Jesus is our living hope. Happy Easter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that you didn't spare even your only son, but you sent him to earth in human flesh so that he might die and you might raise him from the dead. We thank you that his death means something for us, that because of his death, we too shall live. We thank you for this hope, that we have the hope of Jesus, our living hope. We pray that he would be the hope of the world this Easter. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.